student loan forgiveness is still on. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Education Department this week began taking applications for student loan relief, up to $10,000 or $20,000, depending on the type of loan. And now this Biden debt forgiveness has survived its first Supreme Court test. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with details.
It did indeed. Justice Amy Coney Barrett yesterday rejected an emergency request to halt the debt forgiveness program. She didn't offer an opinion, which is common for these kinds of appeals. Her decision was in a lawsuit filed out of Wisconsin, claiming, among other things, that the program violated the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. Now, two other lower courts had quickly rejected that lawsuit. There was also a legal setback in another case brought by six Republican states, which is considered a bigger threat, that lawsuit. A federal judge in St. Louis dismissed the case, though, yesterday, ruling that the states didn't have standing, which is legal speak, David, for the states weren't able to prove that they would be somehow injured by the program.
And this is not the only set of legal challenges, though.
Definitely not. There are others. And the one brought by the six states will likely be appealed. Nebraska's attorney general, who's one of the ones who sued, said they believe they do have standing and they're going to keep going. And one thing that works against the states, though, is that the Education Department at the last minute changed the program, saying private loans wouldn't qualify for forgiveness. And that was a key element of the state's lawsuit because some people consolidated their federal loans to private loans. So they're now out of luck. But for those who hold federal student loan debt, they can still apply as long as they meet income thresholds, David.
Nova, thank you. Now to a story about getting to class with education back to in-person learning after all the remote instruction during high pandemic. From GBH in Boston, Kirk Carapeza filed this report for us.
Route 22, service to Ruggles Station.
To arrive here at Roxbury Community College in Boston, part-time student Kiara Rosario depends on the city's second most popular subway route, the Orange Line. It was shut down for 30 days this summer. For repairs.
I do not have a car. I do need this transportation.
About how much would you say you spend on public transportation every year, ballpark?
More than $1,000, but less than a car insurance.
Standing at a temporary shuttle bus stop outside the college, the 34-year-old single mom tells me she's studying to be a social worker to pay for tuition and rent. She also works part-time at a grocery store. So reliable, affordable transportation, it's critical.
The more time I spend traveling, the less time I have to study, work, and be with family.
A lack of dependable transportation can prevent working students like Rosario from earning degrees on time or at all.
Students today have complicated lives, managing childcare, work, other family commitments.
Abigail Selden is CEO of the Selden Herring Smith Foundation. It maps the proximity of public transit stops to community colleges across the country. Her research finds in New England, about 20% of community college campuses are not easily accessible by public transportation.
Routes and schedules, as well as the cost of public transportation, impact whether or not a school is really accessible.
On average, according to the College Board, students spend about $2,000 on transportation per year.
For context, a full Pell Grant is $6,000 a year, and most of that is absorbed by tuition at many schools, even many community and technical colleges.
Back in Roxbury, Kiara Rosario says this temporary shuttle was running about 15 minutes behind this summer.
We only use one door in the shuttle, and everybody has to be seated. So once all the seats are taken, we have to wait for the next shuttle bus.
And she says those delays cut into her study time. In Boston, I'm Kirk Carapeza for Marketplace.
And here's a number, 1.5 million fewer students in colleges and universities. According to the National Student Clearinghouse, non-elite private colleges are taking the brunt of this. Historically, black colleges and online programs are conversely seeing growth. Checking my market screens here, S&P futures are down 0.6%. NASDAQ futures are down 0.9%. Growth in sales came in way down at Snap, the Snapchat firm. Stock's a mess, down nearly 27% in pre-market trading now.
Yeah. Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
Now to a sharp decline in a natural resource. Some 7 billion crabs, specifically snow crabs, have disappeared from the waters around Alaska. Experts are looking into why, but rapid warming in the Bering Sea is likely a factor. Alaska has canceled the snow crab harvest for the first time ever, and economies that depend on these critters stand to lose millions, Marketplace's Savannah Maher reports.
Just a few years ago, Alaska's snow crab population was booming. Jamie Goen with the industry group Alaska Bering Sea Crabbers says businesses were making big investments.
They were making improvements to their vessels. They were buying more quota to harvest.
Now, Goen says some of those crabbing vessels won't survive this canceled season, and there will be ripple effects.
All the support businesses around our vessels, so whether it's shipyards, fuel docks, welders,
will feel the pinch too. Goen says federal aid should be available to commercial crabbers, similar to what's offered to farmers who suffer crop failures. Chris Anderson, a fisheries economist at the University of Washington, is looking at this as a test case.
To try to understand what it looks like when climate change rears its head and really has a footprint on the fishery, and what sort of adaptive strategies we can have.
Because as oceans warm, he says more fishing economies will have to adjust to these massive shifts. I'm Savannah Maher for Marketplace.
And the Washington Post is reporting that if Elon Musk becomes the boss of Twitter, there are plans to get rid of 3/4 of Twitter employees. That would boost cash flow, presumably cheering investors. Fewer people would mean less curation of tweets, which Musk favors, but there are already warnings this might mean more hacked user information, spam, child porn, and other harmful content. Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are Jessen Dooler and Nick Esposito in New York. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.